My name is Joseph Tullis. I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was raised in Laplace, Louisiana. And now I'm back in New Orleans, Louisiana.
My name is Kevin Aucoin, and it is spelled A-U-C-O-I-N, for those of you who aren't from South Louisiana.
It's Aucoin.
Born and raised in the same area as Joe Tullis, St. John the Baptist Parish, Reserve, Louisiana.
God's country.
And have been in New Orleans most of my adult life.
I met you when I was 13 years old. I mean, we've been doing it our whole lives. We didn't really do anything else. And at least, you know, in my family, it seemed to be a totally okay profession to be a musician, where other people, like if you were like a lawyer or a judge, people would make fun of you in my family. But if you could play music, then you were okay. But, you know, but I met, you know, Kevin, you were working with Audio Innovations, right? When I met you. And but, yeah, making records nowadays, it's like, you know, you have to make them because you love to make them. It's not because, you know, anybody can buy one record and just download it and burn it for all their friends and it's kind of done. So, you know, we at least, you know, most of the stuff is online now. You know, I don't really even know how to buy a record anymore. Do you?
Well, I think it's a generational thing, too. We've all bought vinyl. We've all bought cassettes. We probably, some of us, have even bought 8-tracks. And, of course, CDs and DVDs and everything else. Anyway, I think the new generation is missing that. And that's one reason why I'm not in the record retail business anymore, because all of those stores are now gone.
Well, the only thing I'm interested in putting out right now is really only to actually sell like a physical item would only be on vinyl. And the rest of it, they can download it off the internet if that's what they want to do. They can go to iTunes or whatever. But to me, it's like, you know, I miss the days when you could actually get a record album with the lyric sheets, we'd actually read them. You know, you get a CD.
And artwork.
If you're going to pay that kind of money for something, I think you ought to get some value for your money. There's something about being a kid and being able to lay in your bed and put on a piece of vinyl and look at the lyrics and read it. I mean, yeah, you could get it online on your computer. That's true. You know, you could do that. But there's just something about having to read it yourself.
Regardless of all that we've just talked about, people are still, music is still music. Music is still a way of life. If it wasn't for music, God help us right now. You know, if we didn't have music, I know everyone's been going online doing things and performing. It's been great. They've been performances that have helped fellow musicians like myself financially. So yeah, it's a great thing, and it always has been a great thing, especially in this city.
Yeah, but you're a working musician.
I am a songwriter. A musician,
so I mean,
yes.
It's like, so what's happened to you?
So yes, I am a full-time musician. I have been for probably the last 20 plus years, performing the last 15 plus years, 6 nights a week average, sometimes 7 nights a week, sometimes 10, 12 gigs a week.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, yeah.
Well, and I believe
there are those times, and there are lucrative times, especially the time that we're in right now with Jazz Fest, French Quarter Fest. This is a big time for all the local musicians and artists and restaurants and everybody, ballrooms, everybody, live music venues. This is our Christmas, as we all know. And we're missing it, unfortunately.
It's kind of a strange thing. I understand it, but you know, people think that entertainment is not necessary, but I think it is. You just can't get too close to each other, right?
Well, we'll figure out a way to make this all work in the long run. I have faith, actually, in our government to a certain extent that will make something happen to where we'll all be able to go out and socialize again. I don't think it's going to be in the near future, but besides that.
Well, it's a very social town. New Orleans has always been that way. And you and I have both been around. All of us have been around quite a bit, you know, but it's like, as far as like being social with each other, we always hug each other, kiss each other. It's like, you know, it's very, I think a little bit more. I was just talking to some of my friends in Montana where they don't even see their even neighbors for months, you know, I mean, but you know, New Orleans just isn't that way. So I think it's been a little bit different.
Drop my jerseys in the salt bucket, the safest smiles can be. Views of you in the salt bucket on Island TV. Blow your kisses to the salt bucket, I catch him wet and then I set him free. Sugar baby doll should have kept her head low. Well, she was staring at the window.
and actually playing traditional Louisiana Cajun French music, which is my heritage. If we remember at the beginning when I said my last name is Kevin Aucoin, that's spelled A-U-C-O-I-N, very French. It actually means in the corner in French. Don't know what my family was doing in the corner way back when the names developed, but I've been playing with a band called the Cajun Drifters, which is consisting of myself, Bruce Dagapon on accordion, who is a very well-known French accordion player here in New Orleans. Michael Dupuy and John Dowden play in that band. We play on Bourbon Street at the Tropical Isle Bayou Club, which is the only club on Bourbon Street, and actually one of the only other clubs, only one of two clubs in the whole city of New Orleans that consistently has live Cajun music 7 nights a week. That's my spiel when I'm on stage, so I haven't said it in a while, so I have to remember how I said
it. He's really good at it, too. I've seen him in action.
I play there 3 nights a week. The other venue is the only other venue that has Cajun music 7 nights a week, and that is Mulot's. Which originated in Breaux Bridge, Louisiana. Mr. Carrie Boutte, great friend, great entrepreneur in the Cajun world. He brought not only Cajun food, but Cajun music to the city 25, 30 years ago, and of course started it before then in Breaux Bridge, exposed the music and the culture to the world. If it wasn't for Carrie, people like Paul Simon, and Bruce Springsteen and a lot of other major artists would have never known what Cajun music was.
Well, that was a misunderstood thing about New Orleans is that, you know, there weren't a whole lot of Cajuns in New Orleans.
No, they weren't.
The Cajuns were farmers, and they brought in their stuff to the French market, and they had influence on the music bit, but honestly, they weren't from here, and they really didn't really like being here all that much. They went down back where you and I are from.
Well, the music, of course, started west of here in Lafayette area, but it did migrate here after the World's Fair, actually, in 1984, if I'm not mistaken, is when Cajun music really started to become popular more in the city. If you go to Louisiana Music Factory, which is where I would recommend you going here in New Orleans, because they're probably one of the best Louisiana record stores around for Louisiana music. Yep, our buddy Freeman and Barry and Annalisa and all the guys and gals there do a great job. They're actually closed, unfortunately, with the stay-at-home order, but they have been in on a skeleton crew working because they luckily have a website and are able to supply Louisiana music to the world, and they have been doing a great job on their internet sales. Talked to one of them the other night, and things are going good, especially with people kind of keying in with the French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest weekend. Everybody's got excited and started buying music, and so that's a good thing. So keep supporting Louisiana music.
She can sing, she can play on the piano. She can jump, she can dance, she can run. Wow, she is a beautiful girlie. Yes, she's all of them rolled into one.
Me and Joe have been playing music together for probably 30 of those 40 years.
Yeah.
We were Americana before Americana came out, to be honest with you.
Because we didn't know any better.
Big Son, we were doing what eventually became Americana music.
Yeah, but we didn't know any better.
And it was still very rock-tinged also, but you know.
We thought we were in a rock band.
You look at people like back in the 90s, like Counting Crows and even Tom Petty for that fact. And
well, I remember like with the Sub Dudes, you and I were playing Jazz Fest, right? And with Big Son. And I'm the only person in New Orleans who even owned a mandolin. It was the only one in town. So the Sub Dudes go, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I got to go play, you know." And they go, "Okay, cool." Because it was like a family reunion when all the bands, because most of them are touring most of the time. But Jazz Fest, everybody comes back home, right? And so it's all big hugs and kisses, which I guess we couldn't. I would do it, but they probably wouldn't. But they go, "Hey, we got this song called Message Man. It's like, would you come?" And it's like, well, if you want me to. I mean, it's like, you know, I own a mandolin. I only knew like 3 chords on it. Luckily, there's only 3 chords to the song. So, but they, you know, at the time, the Sub Dudes, and probably still are, you know, it was just the big ticket. You know, I'm sitting there with the mandolin playing Message Man. But it was Americana too, because we all came from the St. John the Baptist Parish.
If you were a bluegrass band or something like that, yeah, you had a blues.
Oh, I'm not no picker, but I could play the chords, you know.
Once they shut down the state, I was saying earlier in our conversation before starting this interview process, is that I had a great birthday this year because the state was shut down on my birthday, March 16th. And that's when we had everything come to an end. All the bars closed, the restaurants closed, all of my gigs closed. So since that time, I have not been able to work. So immediately, I knew that there were going to be organizations looking to support musicians. One, the first one that came to my mind was Music Cares, which is run by the Grammy organization, and they helped me tremendously after Hurricane Katrina and helped a lot of musicians in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. But this was a different animal. This was them now trying to help the entire United States. And they've done a great job. They've done a great, great job. So I started filling out applications as soon as they came online, gathering all my financial information, and applying for as many grants as I could possibly apply for, knowing that I was going to basically have no income coming in for the unforeseeable future. Considering that I really deep down in my gut feel like ballrooms are going to be probably one of the last places to open after this is all said and done, and half of my gigs are in a bar, the other half's at a restaurant. That's not to say that the restaurant might open, but then tell a band, look, we really got to cut back on things because they're not going to be as busy as they normally are. So they might eliminate the music until they can get back on their feet because they've been closed. They're hurting too. So I really don't know what to expect, but I don't see any of that coming anytime soon. Now, the other thing is, of course, hopefully we all got our $1,200 stimulus from the government, from the federal government. I finally got mine, so that helps. Also, I was fortunate enough that the federal government approved all the states to allow what they called gig musicians, which is myself and a lot of people that are in the cash type business of waiters and waitresses and bartenders and musicians and artists and whatever. So they allowed gig type musicians to apply for unemployment, which I did also. And I did that early on. And luckily, I've been receiving that. So that's been a help. So financially, I'm not hurting. I'm not doing it quite as well as I would be doing if I was playing as much as I was playing. But it's enough to survive and to live. Of course, you have a lot of musicians that the summertime is their big season because they're touring all over the world. All of that got shut down. Now, of course, when you're touring, usually you do pretty good financially. So you've got major artists and semi-national artists that are really hurting right now.
Well, they get all the festivals and everything else, and it all got yanked out from, you know, we're making this record with David Malone, you know, from the Radiators. They even, I mean, this is a big time of year for all these guys, and it's like, and it's gone, you know, and by the way, it's not just here in New Orleans, it's everywhere.
And that's why you're seeing a lot of these national mega stars come on TV and do these benefits and all. I mean, those guys aren't going to hurt. I mean, yeah, they're losing revenue because they're not touring, and a lot of them had major tours, and especially major artists like Elton John and, you know, those kind of people. You know, they're killing it when they tour. So basically, they're losing that. But of course, they're Elton John, and so they can afford to donate $100,000 to this charitable event or to the Music Cares Foundation or whatever. So there's lots of It's not the positives. And as you hear a lot, not only in New Orleans, but now internationally, you know, it's still that music to me. The music is what keeps us all together. You know, if we didn't have something to fall back on to turn on our TV at night and hear Elton John and whoever else on TV, or to turn on our computer and see, you know, Tommy Malone or John Cleary or any of these local New Orleans artists, you know, getting up there and playing from their living rooms or their balconies, you know, that's what keeps us all alive, really. Joe and I thought about doing some things. I know Joe did something on his own the other day I saw.
Well, she did.
But I told him I didn't want to be in the same room as him while this was going
on. Yeah, I know.
So,
because he thinks I'm going to get him diseased and whatnot. Me and Kevin, you know, we have the studio over here. You know, we're working on this record that we're trying to finish. And it's really slowed. It's like a stasis race. You know, it has affected me, but not like, you know, so much financially as much as it is. You know, we want to get the record done. We really believe in it. You know, it's me and a bunch of guys from the River Road, from the River Parishes. It's called the River Road Collective. And you know, it's because that's what it is. It's like, because, I mean, we got Dave Malone. He's like the Energizer Bunny. You just wind him up and let him go. I mean, if you hear the guitar parts, I mean, I'm writing songs. He's writing songs. It's all coming together. Things have gotten so desperate, especially like, you know, me and Andrea are living in a CBD right now, and Kevin's over here in a quarter. You know, it's horrible for a lot of people, but it's also, I'm sorry, but it's just great songwriting fodder to see when things break down this way. They're right in front of your face every morning. It's like, you know, these poor people, it's like, you know, you go out and get, you know, we have some extra blankets, go give them to people because they're sleeping on the streets. And it's, you know, it's let's put it this way, I'm staying busy. You know, I always write everything in my head. I never really ever sit down with a guitar and go, I think I need to write a song today. They just come to me and that's just the way it goes. So, but when you're walking around, it's sort of like having a big trawling boat, you know. You walk outside emotionally and you have like, you know, you're picking up fish every day. Eventually you throw them on the deck and see what you have, you know, and what are you going to write about? What's important? You know, these things, they just mean something to me, you know. But for me personally, yeah, no, I mean, you know, I mean, I will go out and play as soon as somebody wants us, as soon as these things clear out and we can go play. I'd go play right now, but most people, like, everything's closed down. So, but my friends who are actually working musicians, you know, it's like, and I will go and play them, but I don't have to go do that because I mainly, you know, I'm a songwriter, which has been easier for me. But I've been looking at everybody else, me and Kevin, all of our friends are doing stuff. I think we need to do more of that. I mean, if we can't leave the houses, let's go, like, you know, Beaver Months and, you know, some other guys from home, they want to come over here, do some videos of songs.
Yeah, I think it's going to get to the point, as I said earlier, that I really feel live music's going to be one of the last things that'll happen or that'll come back after this pandemic is sort of calmed down. Because of that, you see a lot more musicians and artists. I mean, I've looked into it. I've gone online and tried to find, oh, how are this band doing this? Because they're all at different locations. And, you know, there's Zoom and there's all these different things that you can use. There's some that you can use now for musicians that Andrea, Joe's wife, and I had looked into. And anyway,
well,
there's things,
Kevin,
out there.
Things that people don't know about Kevin is, you know, Kevin lost everything in Katrina. His whole house got wiped out. He's recovering all these drums. He had several drums, just a bunch of stuff. It's like, when I was living in North Carolina at the time, but me and Andrea came down for Thanksgiving, which was about 2 months after the storm. I will say this about this town, and my family's been here for almost 300 years. You know, if they're the most resilient people ever. If anybody can get through this, we can do this.
Yeah, I agree with Joe, but I also have to say that because this is something that's affecting the entire world, after Katrina, you know, yeah, I immediately left and went to my ex-in-laws in New York because I was trying to find work because I knew I could find work there. You can't do that now with this pandemic. Everyone's going through the same thing that we're going through. We're all on the same playing field now. The entire world is on the same playing field.
It is absolutely a whole different situation, you know, and I think it's going to last a lot longer than Katrina did.
I can leave the world.
well, again, we were very lucky after Katrina. Like I said, we had lots of help from a lot of local and national organizations that supplied not only money for us to go out and buy new equipment if we needed it, but we had another organization that was called the Katrina Piano Fund, which is our friend Mike Paz and Tom Benson, not from the Saints fame, but another Tom Benson, Klondike from Jazz Fest. These guys put an organization together, and they raised money and went to all these different musical manufacturers and said, we need to get musical instruments back in these musicians' hands after Katrina. So we were all lucky enough to get funding for that. So that was great. But my case, I also had a piano in my house. I had three drum sets that were in my house, not to mention an entire vinyl collection, a CD collection, because at the time I was still working at, I just finished working at Tower Records. I was actually on the road touring at the time of Katrina, but lost everything. And one of my big things was the drums that I salvaged out of my house, out of the flooded water, sat for, well, this one in particular that we're looking at in here, sat until this week or last week. That's a 1965 Rogers drum kit that I'd purchased years before, and they basically sat in that Katrina water for about, about 6 weeks, I guess. And when I got back to my house and had to bust the front door down to get in and see the black mold over everything, it was pretty crazy. So very surreal. Very heartening, but I was luckily able to salvage some of those. I said, there's no way I can throw this away. Of course, I threw away all my whole vinyl collection because it was just totally wasted. But I kept three of the drum sets. One of them was not in bad shape because it was luckily on the second floor, but the other two were like submerged in water for weeks, and I basically had enough time to give them a quick little clean up and stick them in storage after Katrina, because I was busy with rebuilding my house and rebuilding my life and just trying to make ends meet without having any sort of work. So they sat and they sat and they sat. About 4 years ago, I took one of my other drum kits, which was one that I used with Big Sun, that we played with Big Sun a lot. It was my drum workshop kit.
Yeah, when you were awesome.
Yeah, and I basically redid that one totally, and then for some reason said, okay, that's enough of drum repair for now. Of course, these have been sitting here in the back room for a few years, and this is just the right time. I can't go out and play, so let's get them back in commerce here. So
they're looking quite fetching.
I think I did a pretty good job on them. So that's been my big thing.
Yeah.